All right, everyone, on today's episode of Nothing Major, your regular Friday show, we get part two of Richard Gasquet. This is an incredible interview. We touched on his retirement in part one last Friday, and here we are. His career has come to an end to Yannick Sinner at the French Open in 2025, but an incredible career that he has had. And with that, this is our third episode this week. We have Something Major that has come out Tuesday and Thursday. So looking forward to a lot more content from the boys. We had a couple of them on the ground as well. So with that, let's get into part two of Richard Gasquet. We've had a couple of the young Americans on this podcast, Taylor Fritz, Tommy Paul, Riley Opelka. We talked about how their camaraderie, their, you know, how they pushed one another when they were in the juniors. And, you know, we talk about French tennis, a long history of being very successful. You guys had an incredible group of Joe Tsonga, Gael Monfils, Gilles Simon, yourself, Paul Henri Mathieu. What a great group. How did you guys push one another? Were you guys all, you know, close? You know, were you guys all good friends? Were you all training together? And how did you guys push one another to be so successful for so long?
Yeah, it's very important. You know, I think me, I pushed Joe, you know, for sure. I was better than him. We won everything we won under 14 world champion. We won European championship, everything we won. I won everything, you know, with him. So I pushed him a lot, you know, Joe, I was better than him. So I pushed him. Then I see he pushed Gilles Simon pushed Gael. So yeah, we had a great rivalry, of course. When Joe was finalist in Australian Open, we told ourselves now it's our turn, but we didn't do it. But we have to do final. We have to be better as him. It's the same for you. John pushed Sam pushed you, Jack. Everything is the same for the new generation. Everybody is the same. We need our friends to be better, to try to do the. Than them. And yeah, it's a great rivalry, and it's the same for American players now.
That's it. It's what we do.
In US and French, it's tough. For us, it's very tough.
We got blanked over the last many decades, but you're probably the perfect person to ask, you know, one of these questions about the level of tennis across the 2000s, 2010s, and now, you know, the generational talents of, you know, what are the differences in today's game than compared to when the top 10 was, you know, yourself, Berdych, Tsonga, compared to now where it's guys like Casper Ruud, Medvedev, and, you know, and Holger Rune. You know, what are the differences in style, play, and do you feel like one generation was tougher than the other?
It's always difficult to answer it. What I would say, for sure, the top now, you know, for sure, before to win a Grand Slam, I think it was very, very difficult, you know, with a big four, you know, it was crazy, you know, it wasn't. You have to win Murray, then you have to win Djokovic, then you want to... I was in the semis, you know, I remember my first time I was in the semis, I was in the locker room, I was with my coach, and seated close to me to play, it was Djokovic, Federer, and Nadal. And I told my coach, fuck, it's not easy, you know, to win, I'm in the semis, but now, of course, you have more chances. Of course, there is Sinner and Alcaraz, they're still young, 21, 22 years old, so they can be very big in the future, but for the moment now, I would say, you know, Mensik won, Casper won, you know, who won in a Draper, won in Indian Wells. So it's open now to win a Grand Slam. It's open now. It's more open than before. Before to be in the top five, it was impossible. You know, with these guys, it was impossible. So now it's all, everybody's being good. I think the top 100 is better for me. So the guy who is 100, who is 200. He's better physically. He's strong. He's stronger. But if I have to say, Rafa is playing now against the French Open with this level of 2006, I think it would win today. You know, and we are 20 years ago. So yeah, I think the top four. It was unbeatable for me.
Yeah. Do you sometimes wish that you could play in this generation, you know, that you were just kind of starting your career at this point to feel like you could win Master Series and have better chances to win at Slams? Or are you content with, you know, playing against some of the greatest players of all times and playing in that generation and competing against arguably the three greatest players that have ever played tennis?
Stan did it, Cilic and Del Potro. So myself, I had to be better, of course, to be better. I think I had some some weaknesses in my game to win a Grand Slam, of course. But yeah, it will be for sure. It will be another generation. Even in 2000 to 2005, you know, it was not the same generation. Of course, I'm happy with I played with incredible guys like you said. It was an incredible era to play with Federer, Nadal, Djokovic. But yeah, now it's you have more chances, of course, to win a Grand Slam for the moment. But we have to see in the future, because I think Alcaraz and Sinner, they will improve a lot and they can reach the level of Nadal, Djokovic. Maybe not win 24 Grand Slam, but they have the capacity to play incredible in the future. But yeah, of course, to play with Nadal on Nadal, Federer, and Djokovic, the era was very tough. But same for you.
Yeah, and kind of my last thing I wanted to touch on. We've had Stan Wawrinka on this podcast, now yourself, arguably two of the greatest one-handed backhands in tennis. You know, I love to watch it when I'm not playing against you guys. When we are playing against you, it's a much different situation. But, you know, how did you get started with that, with the one-hander? Was it just more natural? And then ultimately, who has, you know, of this, of your generation, if you're taking one-handed backhands, who's got the best three out of, you know, you guys in your primes, you know, in your mind?
In the prime, I would say Wawrinka and me, to be honest, you know, I would say Wawrinka. Even Roger, I will put in a return. He had a good return. Second serve return was good. Wawrinka and me, we have to go to the, you know, to the 4 meters,
yeah,
4 meters to the line to return. So and Federer he could go with his backhand, but from the baseline we had better backhands than Roger. I would say he had the slice was incredible. But at our prime, I would say Wawrinka and then me. Even for the history of one backhand, I would say Wawrinka and me. But the problem, it's my forehand. I would say in the history, I'm maybe not in a 2000. So that's the problem. I'm not in a top 100 with my forehand. So that's the problem. I was number one in the backhand and top and top 100 in a forehand. But I would say it's the same for Jack. And Jack's forehand was incredible, top five.
Yeah.
And backhand was not the same. Yeah,
we don't do backhands very well in America. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
You, Stevie, you had an incredible forehand. Less the backhand. Me was
not quite as good. Some would say, yeah. Some would say not quite there.
Some was quite the same. Some was crazy in a forehand. So powerful, so powerful. And me, yeah, I would say with a 100 backhand, I would say standing me.
Yeah.
What would you say?
I would say I would love to watch you and Stan just hit cross-court backhands forever.
What I would say is I've seen some, like for a lot of the tennis purists out there, I've seen some slow-mo videos of your backhand on YouTube or whatever it is, and it is like poetry in motion. Like here I am, play tennis my whole life, and I can watch a 1.5 minute slow motion video of you preparing to hit a backhand. It's that beautiful, and there are a few players in today's game, I think Musetti comes to mind, Dimitrov comes to mind right away, that still have one-handed backhands, but it is a bit of a dying breed. I think you hit the nail on the head, Richard. Your backhand and Stan's backhand, probably the best in my mind of all time on the one-handed side. And on top of that, just absolutely beautiful. It's a lot prettier shot, I think, than a two-handed backhand. So props to you for being able to pull that off for so many years.
Now players are playing very powerful, you know, not so many slice, not so many drop shot. Everybody is being quite the same, and I'm scared for the future. I hope many players like Musetti will come. You know, we need this kind of players. You know, if not, it's only boom boom. You need to I think we need more people like him to play on a tour. And of course, my game was an old game. You know, now it's not the same for today. Players are playing EV with 200 backhand. It's not the same as before.
You think it's more fun to hit a one-handed backhand than a two-handed backhand?
Yeah, I think it's more fun to hit a one-handed backhand. You know, it's more beautiful. I think it's more fun. It's more technique. I think for the game, it's important to have players playing with this shot. You know, I think it's not so many are playing, only Dimitrov, Musetti. And I think it's more fun. It's quite harder, you know. Well, for the return, I would say it's everybody thought I was I was better returning better in the backhand, but I'm not so good returning in the backhand. So yeah, it's very, very difficult playing with a return with a backhand. It's tough.
Yeah, I think we should have me and Stevie do a cross-court backhand next to you and Stan. That'd be some good content.
Yeah, that'd be good.
It'd be a stark difference between court to court.
Yeah, that'd be embarrassing.
You have a better forehand. Yeah, it's crazy.
American tennis.
Yeah, Sam's. I feel like Sam's backhand.
Yeah, but your forehand was better.
Slightly better.
When I was playing again, four of you, I was playing on the off your backhand for sure.
Yeah, no, it's true.
That's the right play. That's the right play.
Well, actually, you got to move Stevie to his forehand, and Jack. Move him. Get it to their forehand. Get them wide to their forehands, and then expose the backhand that way. You can move me any which way. It doesn't matter. But I think those two guys in particular work the forehand a little bit to open up the backhand side.
Love that John's giving Richard tips from the baseline here.
But on a serious note, Richard, obviously we've spent some time together, and I'm super stoked to have you on here as well, like the rest of the guys. And as we reflect on your career, we've talked about all the incredible accomplishments you have. What would you say would be your proudest career achievement through the 23 years on tour?
It's tough to say, of course, when you're my three semis in Grand Slam. I think it's great. I would say Davis Cup, win Davis Cup. It was very nice. I would say 16, my 16 title, I could win many titles in Montpellier since I did, it was hometown. So it was very nice. Olympics medal, but it's doubles. I saw your podcast one time. You were saying it's the same or things like this. And it's doubles. Doubles is not the same for me, but it's still a medal, But I would say the three Grand Slam semifinal, Grand Slam. It's another level. It's another tennis. That's the most important for the game. So, but I tried, when I was in semis, I tried to go to final. I tried to win, but it was too difficult for me to reach another level than to be in a top 10 for 5 years. It was big accomplishment for me. And then I would say just to play tennis, we are lucky to play all these great tournaments. When we play in US Open in juniors, you never know if you can play ATP, if we can play a great career. So if we had to sign at that time together to play this career, I think we would sign. But I think we did our best, and we are lucky to play the tennis career.
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned the three slam semis. Is there one of those that sticks out more than the others? Or the one that you think about the most, or had the best chance maybe to make your first slam final?
To be honest, I had no chances. I lost to Roger in Wimbledon, then Djokovic, and Nadal in the US Open. They were better than me. I just tried my best, but I was not enough good to win these guys in a big stages like this. I could win Roger in Monte Carlo in Roma, but it's not the same in a Grand Slam semis. I was not enough good to do it, and I had no chances. I think maybe now you can face some players in semis. If you can reach a final, maybe if I was playing now, maybe, not sure. But at that start time, they were better than me, and I had no chances to be in final.
Yeah, and just kind of touching on that, playing these guys. I mean, I think we always talk about the big differences in 3 out of 5 and 2 out of 3 of the belief to win. Like you just mentioned, was the belief just not there in 3 out of 5s? Like you talk about beating them, being able to beat them in Monte Carlo or Rome or Montpellier or whatever it may be, but beating them in a slam, making it 3 out of 5, is that just that much different mentally?
Yeah, it's more difficult. It's not the same when you are playing Roger in US Open. It's a big stage. When you're playing Nadal in Roland Garros, it's another level, mentally. The belief to win in 3 sets, 5 sets, it's not the same tennis than to win them in Monte Carlo or Roma. So maybe, I lost the belief, I lost even into that. When I did semis in Wimbledon, I was facing Novak, it's not easy to go on the court and to think you can win this match. Sam did it in Wimbledon, only him. He did it, I remember. But me, when I was playing against him, they were better than me, and I felt it on the court. And when you are going on a local room, you're losing again. I lost the day, the year before to Roger. Was very it was very painful to lose and to lose against him in Davis Cup final in lead against Roger in three sets. Yeah, I lost many times to this player, maybe 60 times, 20 times to Roger, 20 times to Novak. And it's painful, you know, when you are going, playing, losing, practicing, and you are going on the street the day after, I feel like you lost again, what happened, things like that. It's not easy when you are a competitor, but you know, we tried our best to win this guys on the big stages, but it was maybe too difficult for us.
Were there times that you played them that you felt like you believed you were going to beat them, or did you always feel like I don't think I can really beat them any moment?
No, when I start playing against them, you know, the first time I played Roger, I won, you know, in Monte Carlo, so I won against him. But then the problem, they improved a lot, you know. I would say sometimes people think that mentally they were stronger than you. And it's not the case. It's not mentally, you know. Their tennis improved, you know. Roger was much better in the backhand, you know, when I start to play against him. The first time I played cross to cross in his backhand, I told myself that I can win, and I did it. But the problem at 20 years old, me at 30, I was playing a bit better, but not much better. And them, they improved so much. When you are watching Nadal playing in 2005 and 2022, it's not the same player. He improved so much. He going to the net, he's playing more offensive. And me and the other French player, we didn't improve so much. That's why we couldn't win against these guys. They improved much than us.
Yeah, and do you think if those big three hadn't been around, obviously we've all experienced having to play in tournaments with them, but you making three slam semis and all of your accomplishments, do you think if those big three hadn't been around, do you think you would have won a slam or multiple slams?
I don't know.
I think you would have.
I think you would have too.
I don't know. I would go maybe one final. So many, some players did it, you know. I couldn't reach, but to win, I don't know. In another era, I could do it. You know, it's another level to win and a final. It's a big thing. I think I would reach a final for sure. But then to win a Grand Slam, I'm not sure. But for sure, I would get more chances, and I will be better for sure if these guys were not there. But to win, I don't know, you know. I really don't know. But to reach one final, maybe.
All right, going on to Q, we want to, like, I'm going to ask you a series of questions, like which players that you've ever played, like who had the best shot.
Okay.
Let's start with this. Best forehand.
Federer.
Best two-handed backhand.
Djokovic.
Best one-handed backhand.
Wawrinka.
Best serve.
I think John, yeah, John, in fact, yeah.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Nice work, John. Crazy. best volleyer from the last 20 years.
It's not easy to say. It's a very tough question. I really don't know best volleyer.
Have to give us someone. That's the part of the game, unfortunately.
I would say maybe Mahut. Maybe Mahut or Federer. Maybe Federer, yeah.
Who's the fastest guy?
Gael, for sure.
Maybe one more. Best tennis IQ. Who's the smartest player on tour?
Master's player, Andy Murray. Yeah, I would say Murray. Andy Murray. Andy Murray, yeah. And you, what would you say?
Probably Murray. I don't know. I would probably go Federer.
Yeah, Nadal. Rafa. Rafa or Murray.
Give us the second worst matchup for you.
Did you hear that, Richard?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, yes. You hear me?
Yeah, we hear you, yeah. I think it's Sam's.
Okay.
We'll start this over, or continue this, excuse me. Who's the most annoying player to play against for yourself?
Well, for me was Nadal, for sure.
Yeah.
Nadal was very difficult because he was playing with his forehand with top spin on my backhand, very high, you know. High. I was much better playing on my here, you know, not too high. When it's high on one handed backhand, it's very difficult. And he was playing with his forehand on my backhand, you know, it was very tough. And with his backhand, very flat to my forehand. I'm not very good, you know. When the guy is being flat on my forehand, I'm not incredible. And when the guy is being with his forehand, you know, on my backhand very high was really very difficult for me. So I would say Rafa by far. And as you said, I lost the belief, you know, to win against him mentally when I start at the end of my career. Playing against him was a disaster. So I would say Rafa by far.
I will say this, Richard, you're not alone. As far as a matchup problem against Rafael Nadal, he seemed to be a bad matchup for most everyone, maybe apart from Novak.
Who won him? You won him.
I beat him in Laver Rafa, Cup. People don't want to count that, but it was in straight sets, so I'll count it.
It doesn't count.
Ooh.
It doesn't I think count because it was in straight done. Sets, it should count. And if it was a third set tiebreaker, then maybe not. You know, the 10-pointer.
I mean, you would have gotten to a third set breaker anyway.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
And some won Rafa. No, he won Rafa some.
I got him in Acapulco.
Yes, in the finals.
Straight bets. A real tournament. A real tournament.
Oh, fair.
That one counts.
I never won against him. It's a bit tough, you know, when you are like, when people in France, like, everybody knows me in France. With Rafa, you know, I had a rivalry when we were young, you know, 15 years old. Rafa and me, we were like this. And then I did three semis in Grand Slam, and he won 22 slams.
Yeah.
So it can be painful sometimes.
It's a little
you
bit.
You can understand.
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
When sometimes you are talking to people and they tell me, yeah, but you run Rafa, but you... In Roland Garros, you did one quarterfinal, and him, he won 14 times. So
yeah,
it's not the same thing.
No, it's not quite. Okay, Richard, what's one player that you felt really comfortable playing against? One player that you felt like you owned over the course of your career?
I would say Feliciano Lopez.
Okay.
I won, but I lost at the end of my career. I lost to him, but I was a bit. I don't want excuses, you know. I was a bit injured.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It was in the final in Eastbourne in final. I stopped 2 months before playing against him. It was a final, but with Feli, I knew how to play. You know, he was playing with his slice, going to the net a lot. He was going to my backhand. You know, I could play against Feli. Was a good good player for me. He was an incredible player, especially on grass court. On a fast court, but I knew when I was playing against him, I like it, his game. Yeah.
You mentioned playing him, like Feli loved playing on grass. You loved playing on grass. Now, would you say that grass is a better surface for you than clay? And if that's the case, why do you think your game translated so well to grass courts?
Because grass, you can play, you know, you can, it's a game. On grass, you can play slice, you can go to the net, you can play drop shot, you can play slow, you can do everything. Physically, you have to be strong, but even if it's long, you're not getting very tired, you know, you can play five sets, you're not destroyed after it. So it was a game for me to play on grass. And I think playing a game, I was very good, you know, I had talent, you know, to play a slow slice, to play to the drop shot, to go to the net and to return, to do a bit of everything, you know. Then on clay, even in US Open, when it was a very, very humidity, very big humidity, things like this, it was very physically, you need other things to win. But I think on grass, it's a game, you know, that's why I was playing very, very, very well. I like it, the games there.
Did you at the US Open one time in one of those crazy hot conditions of I think that was you, you were on the change of ends and you like sort of throwing your clothes out onto the middle of the court. Was that you, Richard?
Yeah.
Dude, y'all remember that? Like your socks and stuff?
I don't remember.
Yeah, with the socks. I put the socks on the court.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the condition was disaster, you know. US Open was the most difficult for me. I was sweating
we
so
agree.
Much, you know.
Yeah.
It was crazy. It was crazy to play in New York there. For me, it was I was very scared, you know. Even the day before, fuck, I was drinking 10 bottles. I was so scared, you know. I remember to play there with the humidity. It was not fun at all.
Yeah, kind of Richard, is there any players that you didn't like on tour that you kind of avoided or just did not care for? We all have a few of our own, but you know, it's always good to ask somebody else.
You told on your show, you told some players, you told publicly, you told it, you know, in your mind, you have some, but
yeah, I really don't like Ivo Karlovic. I just can't stand
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah, Karlovic was a disaster again. For sure. At my age, you know, it was Soderling.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So rough.
I think Berdych, I would say a bit Thomas sometimes was a bit tough to me. Sometimes Thomas was not so friendly, you know. I knew him well when we start playing, but I would say Thomas Berdych maybe, and sometimes Radek Stepanek on the court, fuck, disaster.
Yeah,
on the court, yeah, on the court, Stepanek was terrible. Terrible. And Tommy Robedo on the court was so bad too. Tommy Robedo, Radek Stepanek on the court was bigger.
<That's good>.
Doing the snack when I was losing to Radek Stepanek, and he was doing the snack on the court, remember?
Yes.
He was like, it was mentally very, very, very tough for me. Now I would say this guy, sir.
Yeah, good answers.
Yeah, kind of going into a sillier side of questions. We all know you have a few quirks and rituals and habits while you are playing out there. You know, a couple that really stick out are you gripping your racket every changeover. And how did you get the butt cap of your racket? How did you get to that point where it's so much bigger than the rest of your handle?
To start, I'm sweating so much, really. I'm sweating. I may be on the tour. I'm the guys who are sweating the most, I would say. It was incredible how sweat I was. So I had to change it, you know. And I will be honest with the second question, mentally. I don't know how I came playing with this shit.
I mean, it is amazing. Everyone has seen your racket. It's amazing.
I'm honest, you know. I'm honest. Yeah. Mentally, I don't know myself how I could play with this. Sometimes even when I'm going to the bed, I see the racket and I see this on the bottom of the racket. I told myself, like, you're crazy.
Yeah, you're nuts.
All right, thanks once again to Richard Gasquet for an incredible interview. It was a pleasure for us to get to talk to somebody who has had a 20 plus incredible career in this game of tennis and has accomplished more than just about any of us on this podcast combined, actually, at this point. So thank you to Richard for that. And that is it for today's Friday's episode. But a couple last words. If you are sick of us, too bad. You got another show tomorrow, Something Major on a Saturday, where we keep breaking down the French Open. And then the most important news of the day would be our merch update. We finally have it. Guys, it has been a long time coming. We are not very smart in figuring these things out, but we have finally figured it out. So go to Tennis Warehouse. We have partnered with them. Get on their website, search Nothing Major. It'll take you right to these beautiful trucker hats. And if you guys would like to do that, or go to our website, nothingmajorshow.com, and click the merch shop, it will take you there. So make sure you guys go get some merch, because it has taken us far too long to figure it out. But now that we got it up, we'd love to see it out in the wild. So go get you guys some of these wonderful trucker hats. And we will see you guys tomorrow.